outside of the Bible, the greatest two documents that have ever been penned are the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. And the reason those two documents have lasted for 230 years is because they were written on the knees of the framers.
This is the voice of the Colorado Liberty Movement.
I'm not a sixth grader. It's fine you want to lecture me on the Constitution. I studied the Constitution myself. I am reasonably well educated.
Live from Studio 56, this is Grassroots Radio Colorado.
Let's be clear about one thing. We're not here to rebrand the party. We're not here to put a fresh coat of rhetorical paint on our party. We're not here to abandon our principles in a contest of government giveaways. We're here to rebuild a country.
Now, Chris Cook with Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560.
Freedom, liberty, truth.
American woman, I said get away. American woman, listen what I say.
And welcome to the second hour of Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. And my absolute favorite reasons in the world why it is not yet Friday are sitting in studio with me.
You're going to give us a big head.
Uh-oh, Andy's not going to be able to fit out of the studio. That's not going to be good.
We greased the doorway.
We've got Corey and Andy Pates of the Party of Choice sitting in studio with me. And I'm multitasking today.
I'm doing
a live radio show, debating with someone on Facebook. I am just all over the place.
And she was literally juggling. At the same time while she was doing it, it was incredible to watch through the window.
Literally juggling, yes.
Yeah, I didn't know
not
you could do
figuratively.
That. I thought you did a great... I really enjoyed the first hour. I enjoyed the topic.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun topic.
I remember when I first, you know, when I was so, you know, all sweaty, and I asked the state of Colorado for Corey's hand in marriage.
Right.
You know,
Did you bring the state flowers or
I did. I did. You know, I didn't even know who to talk to, so I went to the DMV. You know? All right, I'll take these tags. I need to re-up these tags. And, you know, this is awkward, but while I'm here, can I marry Corey Dayton? The lady just looked really confused.
I'm sure she did. She works at the DMV.
But then she recovered well. She said, okay, go ahead. And she charged me $100.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You know, pocketed it. It was great.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, because they don't sell marriage licenses at the DMV.
I like what Alabama did. I like what they did.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay, now why do you agree with it?
I just want government as far out of this as humanly possible. You know, I don't want the government deciding who can marry who.
Right.
And quite honestly, I just don't want the government involved in marriage. I feel, you know, our house is crowded enough with just the two of us without the entire government in it too.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't want them in my house either.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
I by the way, I think that'll be a forerunner. I think we're going to see it in a lot of places.
I think so. And I am actually embarrassed to admit that that was a solution I had never conceived of. And I don't know why it was not part of my thought process on that whole thing. The minute I saw that article, I was like, yes, that's it. I've been saying for years, get the government out of marriage, get the government out of marriage. But how do you actually do that?
Right.
Well, that's how you do that. They don't issue the licenses anymore, duh. Well,
we shouldn't have so many licenses for every single thing you do anyway. So.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. 98 different professions. The state of Colorado licenses 98 different professions. Boxers have to have a license.
Why?
If you're going to be a boxer in the state of Colorado, you have to have a license. Why is the big question of the day.
No, I mean, really, it's like, why? No, and I liked what you were saying about having the private organization, who is an expert, screening the people who are the members of their organization.
Exactly.
That makes so much sense. That was one of my duh moments. It's like, oh, huh, that makes sense.
Right. Well, you know, architects, for example, you know, how about an architectural organization licensing its architect members? I mean, they're the ones with the vested interest in making sure that the people who carry that designation live up to that designation.
Right.
That's who's the, it's the people in the profession itself members of that organization.
Well, and here's something totally crazy. How about the consumer deciding, hey, these people are good architects, these people are not. I can see their work, therefore I want to pay money to these people who are really good at it.
Which works until you're talking about a skyscraper, and the reason why we know that guy is a bad architect is because his building fell down.
No. I'm not saying there shouldn't be any, like you're saying.
Right.
You know, but you can keep it private.
Well, and you can still have inspections and standards as far as building code.
Okay. Should the government do that, or should that be a private organization?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Okay. Okay. Think about that.
I'll have that debate
one of these days.
I'll do it for $10 a shot.
Oh, geez.
Got it. Okay. All I'm going to do is I've got this sheet full of boxes that I'm going to be checking off. There's nothing next to them. Just walk me through your business.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, and you have these, and I know this is way off topic of what we were going to talk about.
No,
but,
that's okay.
It's interesting to me that folks are not factoring in where we are with technology when they think about how the free market could work in dealing with some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for example, if I need a new hairdresser, my first step is not to go to the Colorado DORA website, the Department of Regulatory Agencies, and make sure that there's a hairdresser, you know, look through all of the licensed hairdressers to make sure that I pick one that's there. I'm going on to Yelp, and I am looking at, okay, who's got 5 stars, you know, and who did people with short curly hair, who did they like, you know, and that is how I'm doing that. I do that with hairdressers. I do mm-hmm. that with the people who do my nails. I do that with doctors.
Yes.
There are plenty of health grades out there that you can look at, and you can look at the different reviews, you know, all sorts of different things in determining what makes sense for me. That's the role of technology in the free market.
Well, I agree with all this. Here's the biggest thing before we jump forward.
Okay.
All of this licensing is just one more thing that is grinding down innovation in our society. It's slowing the American engine down. Ingenuity. I mean, think about it. Forget us. We've been around. Think about that 17-year-old with a bright idea. And then they see the process they have to go through. They never want to have a bright idea again. They literally go to a doctor and say, remove my head.
Yes. I want a lobotomy, please.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's grinding down what is supposed to be the most innovative place on the planet.
I get this image of somebody who is walking along and they've got this light bulb over the top of their head and they're tall and strong and they're excited and they've got a bounce in their step, and then the first load of regulations is put into their arms, you know, and first 1,000 pages and then the next 1,000 and then the tax forms.
Well, the first thing they're told that you can't have that kind of light bulb over your head.
Well, then that's that. So
that's not approved.
Yeah, you have to get one of the
squiggly
key ones.
Just saying.
And by the time you walk through all of this process, you're bent over, defeated by all of this regulation. And it's got to stop.
Oh, we can tell you horror stories just with getting the party of choice started.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Just from a nonprofit standpoint.
Well, yeah, because we have an LLC and we also have a 527.
Okay.
The 527, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The amount of paperwork that was required just to file taxes for the donations we received last year was like 40 pages long, I think. I mean, it was insane.
Easily.
And we couldn't do it. Easily. We had to hire somebody, so.
There's no way. You know, and I used to do 990s, which are the nonprofit tax returns for, you know, for 501c3s and 4s. And I don't think I ever had a 527 who was a client. But I used to do those. They're incomprehensible. They're mm-hmm. incomprehensible to the IRS. They're incomprehensible to the CPA who prepares them. And they're totally incomprehensible to the client themselves. Well,
and we were told, okay, look this over. You're ultimately responsible for the return. So make sure you understand it and you don't have any questions. I looked at it. I didn't even know what half the terminology was. And I was right. like, I'm just going to have to trust you because that's why I hired you. I don't know. I don't understand this.
Exactly. Exactly. Why do that? But stifling innovation is the reason. I mean, that's really the bottom line purpose. That's why we license 98 different professions, is because those professions at one point in time or another went to the state and said, we want you to shut down new entrants into our industry, and so they have to have a license in order to get in here. Think about Uber and taxis.
Well, it's a combination between that and government people just wanting to hey, it's fundraising. That's all it is. It's just fundraising for the government.
It's ridiculous.
So much of it is. Not all of it, of course, but so much of it is.
What parts of it do you think are not?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought through all 98. I try not to think through all 98. I think about 56. That one has really got me that I'm thinking.
56.
I think 56 is a pretty good one.
I think that that's probably electricians, maybe.
There you go.
I'll have to look.
There you go.
I mean, there's a lot of folks think and talk about, you know, there's a role for regulation and so forth. And the older I get, the more I study this stuff. More, you know, to be more precise, the more that I study this stuff, I'm really not sure there is a role for regulation from the state. I think the market self-regulates. I really do. And I think that the people who have professions that need that kind of oversight, the members who share their designation have a distinct interest in making sure that things are upheld, those standards are upheld.
Bottom line, I've always said the government should be the referee, not a player in the game. They shouldn't be deciding who all can play in the game, just making sure they play fair when they're there.
I like that idea. I'm Chris Cook. We've got Corey and Andy Pate of the Party of Choice sitting in studio. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook. Listening to this music always makes me want to tilt to the left. I'm not, why, you know, that's where the music's coming out of. Anyway, it just cracks me up. I was a young kid when I heard my first stereo recording. It was really shocking to me, and I've still never gotten over it. So anyway.
My parents yelled at me that way.
In stereo?
Yeah.
One on each side?
Yeah, so
did they alternate?
They did, and that was what really freaked me out. Was when, okay, now, honey, tonight I'll take the verbs, you take the nouns, let's really stick it to him. And I'd just be crying and crying because I'm just really confused. I wouldn't learn anything.
Sounds like a Mad Libs scolding.
Yeah, it was.
So I'm Chris Cook. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. I've got Corey and Andy Pate of the Party of Choice sitting in studio, in case you didn't figure that out by hearing Andy there. So let's get on to the real topic of the day that we are going to discuss, which is...
Hillary proofing.
Hillary proofing?
Yes.
We're going to proof her?
No. We want to Hillary proof the electorate a little.
Oh, okay.
You see, here's the big problem. Too often we sit back and we're waiting, and you know, I've talked about this before, we're waiting for the candidate, the brilliant candidate, the perfect candidate to come out and beat Miss Hillary. The problem is this. The candidate doesn't really hit the airwaves big until the last few months of the election.
Right.
We've got 15 months between now and the election getting really tight. I mean, you know, and getting really heated up.
Okay.
We've got so much time to start getting people off this idea of wanting to have Hillary Clinton be their president.
Okay.
And there's so many ways. And tonight we're gonna look at, you know, her strengths and how we can knock them down. And we're going to look at her weaknesses then and how we can go after that. But what we need to start doing is thinking about how can we persuade people? Because people who want a woman president really want a woman president. And so we've got to start now rather than waiting until the last 4 to 6 months to, you know, in some, you know, panicked way, try to win people over.
Well, if they really want a woman president, why don't they get behind Carly Fiorina?
Well, I was going to ask you something.
Okay.
Okay. See, thus far, because that actually kind of, and you've already given the answer.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It's the first thing that occurred to me. You know, if that's the criteria,
what number,
that's not the criteria.
What number am I thinking of right now?
What? I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket after this.
Oh, okay. Okay, but here was my question. Thus far, who is Hillary's most effective critic amongst GOP candidates?
So far, Carly has really done a stellar job.
And why do you think?
Because she's also a woman.
That's part of it.
Mm-hmm. And she's really smart and brilliant and, well, and articulate and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, you know, now obviously being a woman gives her legitimacy. And, right. And folks, we on the right hate the idea of demographic voting. And I think that's a great thing. I hate it.
It makes me so angry.
But I also don't like us being naive about the political landscape.
Granted.
That doesn't mean Carly has to be our – she is one of my faves. But, I mean, that doesn't mean she has to be our candidate. But we need to learn from what she's doing right now. It's more than her being a woman.
Right.
What she's doing right now is really amazing.
Yeah, I just love it. Every time I see a Carly Fiorina article, I'm like, ooh, what'd she do today?
kind of fun. What was the hashtag that she put out? Is it Ask Hillary or
Yeah, I think something? So. And then like she showed up at a Hillary event offering to answer questions. just like
we'll answer questions.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Which is delightful.
So, but what's so great about this is that she is not pulling any punches and she is going straight at Hillary's strengths. And so you've probably heard, but everything that Hillary is touting as an achievement, Carly is deriding as an activity.
Oh, great.
So Hillary's like, well, I've traveled a lot. And Carly's like, well, yeah, that's an activity. Well, my achievement is that I'm a woman. And she's like, well, that's not an achievement. That's just a fact. You know, I mean, it's just so much fun to watch her just cut the legs out from underneath Hillary. Everything Hillary is so proud of, Carly's just like, eh, whatever.
I love it. I love it. Well, she's sort of the anti-Hillary in some ways. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, she's the polar opposite.
Right.
And still has some of her strengths. So let's go through these.
Yeah. So one of the things is we have to look at Hillary's strengths and what are some things that we can do about those. So for starters...
Well, the first thing is, what's the big reason that everybody... There are three main reasons that I think people want to vote for Hillary. What's the main one?
She's a woman.
She's a woman. Okay.
Aren't you ready for a woman president?
Wow. I mean, I'm touting my demographic as a reason to vote for me.
Right.
Wow. I mean, that's... That goes beyond weak.
It's...
Right.
It's pandering. It's insulting. And... ultimately irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And isn't that the point, that it shouldn't matter if it's a man or a woman? So why then go there as a woman?
Oh, I agree.
But
you see, that doesn't mean that her supporters would vote for a woman Republican. They wouldn't. And that kind of gets me to my next two. And these are big in general. The next one is simply she's a socialist. She will keep redistribution of wealth going. She will keep the engine humming.
Okay.
And there are tons of people who want that. They want they want the rich taken down.
True, true. The only reason I'm hesitating is I'm not sure whether she's a socialist or a Marxist. And I mean, honestly, we know that she's a Saul Alinskyite. We know that she's a radical. I think socialist is almost too nice a word for her.
See, but you're kinder to socialists than I am. You always have been. Okay, she.
I see it on a range, you know. Yeah, so yeah, okay.
I know. The you know, like a shooting range.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that'd be much better. Okay.
Yeah, cardboard cutout of socialist, of Marxist.
Like it.
That's
I like
so
it.
Violent. That's so Sarah Palin.
Can we
targeting.
Put up a Che Guevara one as well?
Yeah, you can.
That's another fundraising idea.
I like it.
Okay, we'll have to talk.
Now let me tell you as somebody who comes from the Democrat horde. Here's the big reason, folks. She will assemble the most anti-Christian Supreme Court ever imagined.
Yeah.
And this is why we absolutely must not allow her to be the next president. I cannot believe some of these justices have hung on this long. I thought they would drop so Obama could replace them. We are very lucky, folks. We cannot say, we cannot divide. You already know the GOP candidates I love most. You know what I think of Jindal and all this, and I bored you with that. You know, and you know the ones I don't like.
Right.
But all of them are going to be light years better than her when it comes to the Supreme Court alone.
Even Jeb Bush.
Yeah, and he's my least favorite. I've always said if we have 1,000 candidates, he's 1,000th. Okay. And by the way, he won't be the candidate. There's no way. Zero chance.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, so do I. But even Jeb Bush, look, she's going to put Elena Kagan squared, okay, for the next two or three. She is, when it comes to abortion, she's a killing machine.
Right.
Okay,
right.
When it comes to, she is the only presidential candidate ever to tell the church that it needs to change. It's to upgrade to the modern. Look,
Hillary said that?
Yes.
Yes.
When did I?
She was talking about
abortion.
Yeah, she was talking about abortion and these things, and was saying that I don't remember the exact quote, but I'm nailing it. That she was saying that the church has to change and basically change its beliefs.
I'm getting echoes of Henry VIII here. You know,
it's unbelievable.
I mean, that's I don't know how in the world I missed that. That is absolutely astounding.
Right.
Absolutely astounding.
Jeb Bush. And I don't want to, that just depresses me to even think about him as the candidate. But just the Supreme Court alone,
right,
would be light years better with him in the presidency than her.
here's the thing. In 2012, we ran on that platform. In 2008, we ran on that platform. That was a huge talking point in both of those elections. Think of what they'll do to the Supreme Court. Well, it got nowhere.
No. What I'm talking, I'm only using that to our side to say, guys, you got to unify. That's not an outreach talking point at all.
Okay, that's good.
No. We'll talk about outreach talking points. But I'm talking about just for us, we have to unite. Folks, we cannot allow this woman to place the next three justices on that court. We cannot do it. I can't believe we've lucked out that so few have been placed by Obama.
Right. And I kind of wonder what's going on with Ginsburg. I kind of am beginning to wonder if she's been mummified and propped up there. You know, like with one of those animatronic dealies to make it look like she's actually asking questions, because you know, and
it's kind
for
of a Muppet reason, effect.
Yeah, exactly. It surprises me that she has not retired. I know that she had talked about it. Mm-hmm. You would think under with her leanings under this president, I mean, is Obama even too liberal for her? And so she's decided to hold on, or what?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it's amazing because he's put two justices on that are actually to the left of her.
Right.
Slightly.
Right.
Hillary will put justices on that are to the left of those.
Of them. That's exactly what's going to happen. Oh, my gosh. Well, Marco Rubio said it not too long ago. He said the United States is at the water's edge of declaring Christianity hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that is really where we're going.
Well, what's going to happen if she is choosing the judges? What will happen to what Marco Rubio just predicted?
It'll happen.
And by the way, Cruz has said it too.
It's true. And that's exactly what will happen.
We have to stop that.
Yeah. Yeah. But let me ask you this. We've only got a minute and a half or so before we go to break. You say those aren't outreach talking points, but
no,
we have
we'll
to unify.
Those.
Okay. But when you're saying we have to unify, that is an outreach talking point within our own party then.
Sure.
And that even within our own party, that Supreme Court doesn't always resonate.
No.
That's not their thing.
No, but it does in a way because overall – the GOP-nominated justices, at least of recent vintage, overall have been by far more liberty-oriented than the Democrat ones. There's no comparison. Even the one who I think is the greatest mistake of the entire George W. Bush presidency, John Roberts.
Roberts, yeah.
I mean, I put him below immigration. Okay? He's rock bottom, the worst thing.
Right.
He's light years better than them.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. There's that big of a difference, and that doesn't mean I like all the justices the GOP has put on there. I absolutely do not. But my goodness, folks, we're talking degrees. She will churn the courts, and that means our country, into a killing machine of the unborn and a blow-up machine of the church.
That's a very, very good point. We've got Corey and Andy Pate of the Party of Choice sitting in studio. I'm Chris Cook. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook. I've got Corey and Andy Pate of the Party of Choice sitting in studio with me. Before we go any further, because I've already forgotten twice, how can folks find you? Where can folks find you?
Sure. They can find us on the web at thepartyofchoice.com. So it's thepartyofchoice.com. And then we're also on Google Plus, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Okay.
So we're all over social media. And we'll also be at the Western Conservative Summit in June.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll be there too.
I know. We're so excited.
We'll have a table there. She lets me sell lemonade. It's really
You set
cool.
up a lemonade stand? Do you have a license for that?
And I do 5 cents psychiatric help.
Jeez. Do you put on your
yes, I do.
Lucy wig?
I hold the football and I dare people to try to kick it.
You know, Corey, I have to congratulate you. I have to commend you, I think is probably a better word for it.
Yeah.
That you bring him out in public.
Well, the thing is, I thought I had drugged him this time, but apparently it didn't take.
Apparently those were the placebo meds.
I am so heavily sedated most of the time.
All right. So we're talking about Hillary proofing.
What I want to do, and we're going to kind of zip here, first, we want to talk about how to deal with these strengths. Okay, once again, she's a woman. She'll prolong redistribution of wealth.
Okay.
And she'll assemble the most anti-Christian Supreme Court ever imagined, and that is the number one thing her supporters are wanting, just so you know.
Is an anti-Christian Supreme Court.
Okay. Absolutely, because they want something that can't be elected out. Okay, they want lasting power. Okay.
Okay.
Trust me. former leftist here.
Okay.
Okay. So first of all, what about the woman thing? What we're going to do with each one is say how you can praise their motives to take away some of the heat, mm-hmm. and then how you can counter it.
Okay.
Right. Because if you know somebody who's strictly voting for Hillary because she's a woman, it's not a very rational position to hold, right?
Not even close.
So one of the quickest ways to pull down that wall is to agree and say, hey, I would love to see a woman president. It's been 200 years of men. I agree with you. I think having a woman president would be fantastic.
It's best if you be able to say that without gagging.
Practice in front of the mirror.
just guessing. I'm
record
just
yourself
guessing.
On your cell phone. Listen to it back again. You know, work on that sincerity. But no, seriously, because when you are able to say that, like we just said, we've got a fantastic Carly Fiorina on our side. She's a woman, right? And so also point out the fact that, hey, a candidate can't help it if he was born a man. If right. he's the best person for the job and you want to see our country really move forward and you want to see these rifts heal, what do you want? Do you want to just vote for somebody because of the demographic they fill, or do you want to elect somebody who could really fix those problems?
Lead our country.
Right. Yeah. So if it happens to be a woman who you could say, I love Carly Fiorina, if you do, hey, I would vote for her because I feel like she could really mend these rifts and help us move forward. That's why I'm not supporting Hillary. But I agree with you. I'd love to see a female.
Yeah, we can also. I also have people personalize. You know, we've all seen people lose positions because they didn't fit the type that the boss wanted.
Yeah.
Do you want to mm-hmm. do you want to do that to your president? Come on. He cannot control how he was born, but he can control who he serves. And our candidate chooses to serve everybody regardless of how they were born.
Right.
All right.
Right.
That's kind of what we do.
I like that.
Take down the heat.
To give what I've heard of referred to as dazzling details. Can we take that down to an even more personal? Like, do you think it's right? Help me flesh this out. Do you think it's right when somebody doesn't get a job because they're overweight or
right. You know, exactly perfect
skin color is wrong or something like that,
or they don't get a promotion because they don't golf with the boss. Serious. I've seen that plenty.
Sure.
They don't get, you know, and once again, you can't help how you're born. You know, we have this big debate, you know, can you be born gay? You know, and you go back and forth on that. Well, one thing I know for sure is you can be born guy.
Okay.
And you can't avoid it. I tried. Anyway, go ahead.
Are you sure you were unsuccessful?
Yeah. Did I ever tell you?
I had to.
Did I ever tell you what my dad tells people?
No.
My dad would always tell people, you know, I'd be standing there and he'd say, you know, Andy's mother and I are actually very proud of Andy. It's just that we were hoping for a boy.
Oh. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Liberal parents. I cry a lot.
He opened the door, Corey. What was I going to do?
Okay, it's fine.
Tell you what, let's skip ahead. Redistribution wealth. We just don't have time to deal with it right now. Let me jump on because I want to look at the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And I tell people, look, I can understand you. A lot of people want liberals on the Supreme Court. They do because they're afraid of the church trying to impose its beliefs on them as laws. And they see the Supreme Court as what's going to protect them. Trust me, I've said this with people, and they're like, yeah, that is what I see. That
sure.
is what worries
yeah.
me.
It seems an unfounded worry, but that's okay.
It is an unfounded worry. But,
right.
but first, what you want to do first is connect with their fear, connect with their worry, bring down the anger,
okay.
bring down the wall. Now you can reason with them because they at least understand that you understand them.
Okay.
Yeah, I can understand why people would want Hillary to put, you know, have a more liberal court because they feel that's the only thing protecting them from the church telling them how to live their lives, especially in this society that's becoming less and less Christian, you know. But then I say, but here's the thing. I don't want anyone using the court, left or right, using the court to impose their views on the other as laws.
Right.
So here's my question. Which side is being more aggressive? You see, Christians are not the aggressive ones, and that's the big point I make with them. Do you see Christians targeting gay bakeries to force participation in events? Do you see Christians targeting pro-choice activists and making them pay for pro-life decisions? Do you see Christians, you know, what else did I have here? Oh, yeah. Do you see Christians using the public schools to teach all their beliefs and force all their beliefs and values and things on other people? You don't see any of that. One side is being the total aggressor these days.
Right.
And you're worried about the other side being held at bay by a court. what I would say is this. I don't want anybody held at bay by a court. I want laws put out by people we can vote on and vote out. Okay? I only want the court interpreting those laws.
Right.
But as for any fears about keeping Christians from running your life, maybe you should take another look at who's being aggressive here.
Well, that's a good point. Have you used that one?
Yeah.
And it's a successful point.
Yeah, I mean, well, and it's successful just because I first bond with them over the fact that, hey, man, I can understand what you're afraid of.
Okay.
Yeah, you're afraid you get a bunch of conservative justices on there, and they're going to take away, and they're going to basically churchify your world.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I can understand that.
Do you think that some, and this is probably an overarching question, but do you think that some people's support for or objection to these things is simply that they it's not that they disagree with us on the issue, it's that they don't understand the issue. They don't understand what the real purpose is of the Supreme Court to interpret the laws in light of the Constitution.
Well, that's true. They don't understand the role of the Supreme Court at all. But their biggest reason is this. It's not that we disagree, and I'm speaking as them. It's not that we disagree with your beliefs. We don't want them forced on us.
Okay.
And we believe you will force them on us. And let's be honest. With a lot of the rhetoric that has come out of the right from people like me, I am the evangelical Christian right and proud of it. Okay, I'm one of the wackos and proud of it. I am. I love it. I love who I am. But they hear people like me talk and they're like, oh my gosh, he's going to make me be like him.
Right.
And he can use the courts to do that. We need.
They just make the assumption that we're going to use government in order to push forward these ideas.
Yes. Yes, they do. And right. That is what they're worried most about.
Right.
So that's just ways that we can undo the strengths of her position.
Okay.
Now we'll talk about going after the weaknesses, the corruption.
Okay. Well, we have 3 minutes before the break.
Shall I jump into one?
Sure.
Okay. When we go after Hillary's corruption, because there are basically two big reasons why you wouldn't vote for her, corruption and Obama failure and fatigue. What were you going to say on that, Anya? Let me yell you.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that as far as the corruption, people are tired of the Clinton drama. Every time you turn on the TV, there's some new like soap opera-esque type issue.
These are the days of our lives.
It's true. So I think people are just rolling their eyes at that. Okay. And then also, I don't know, but it seems like a lot of people in the middle who aren't left or right are really tired of having a president that they can't criticize.
Good point.
You're not allowed to disagree with him based on policy or idea.
Right.
Because they label you as a racist, and they're tired of that. And if you have a female president who's a Democrat, they're going to do the same thing.
Right.
But if it's a Republican, it doesn't matter what their demographic is. You can feel free to criticize them, and they know it.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If it's really Bobby Jindal or Ted Cruz or Rubio or Fiorina.
Right.
Yeah. And I believe that kind of fatigue over the, you know, having every criticism of your president tied to a demographic is really going to play in our favor.
I hope so. I had never thought of that, but that's a really, really good point.
Yeah.
Really good point. What's the next one going to be?
Okay. First thing, let's jump into her corruption.
Okay.
And here's the key, folks, when you're talking about this stuff at work or wherever, quick, simple points.
Okay.
Don't be a newsman.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay. On Benghazi.
I'm good at that. Come on.
Yeah, but on Benghazi, I always just say, look, who makes up a story about YouTube protests when knowing full well Americans just got killed in a terrorist attack?
She can't prove that.
Oh, yeah. Now we can. It's totally proven now. She knowingly lied to us. We now have the record of events and when she knew what.
Right.
Okay. Who does that? Would you do that?
Gosh, no.
Okay. Emails. Now, yeah, okay. This one works best personalized. We'll do this a little after the break, too. Always use an example of something. Everybody you've been around has been wronged or knows someone who has been wronged. They've been sexually harassed at work. How about someone who has been cheated by a contractor named Bob?
Okay.
Okay? And you look at them and say, what if Bob could pick and choose what evidence could be seen by the investigators?
There you go.
How would you feel about that? Okay? Hillary got to pick and choose what emails investigators could see. Then she deleted the rest, over 30,000 of them, and says, there's no evidence I did anything wrong. What if Bob could do that? What if this person who sexually harassed you could pick and choose any evidence or witnesses who would get to speak? How would you feel about that?
Right. Those are great, great points. How do we tie those back to her responsibilities as president? Because that seems to me that's the biggest problem we have with the Clintons, and why they are so Teflon is because we fail to make that final connection that as president, we ought to have somebody of integrity in there who is corruption-free, or at least not corruption-prone. And Clinton certainly does not fit that bill. We've got Corey and Andy Pate of the Party of Choice sitting in studio. I'm Chris Cook. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook. I've got Corey and Andy Pate of the Party of Choice sitting in studio. Where can folks find you, Corey?
Thepartyofchoice.com.
Okay.
Facebook, Google+, YouTube, and Twitter.
Awesome. Okay. And I will get that down one of these days.
And they can probably find me not. Walking 10 paces behind her.
That's a good place for you to be. Okay. I don't know why you have become the target tonight, Andy. I don't usually do this to you. I'm sorry.
It's this reverse Muslim thing going on in here.
I feel so invited. Subjugated.
Yeah.
Well, you sort of invited.
So what were you asking?
Before we went to break, we were talking about how to address Hillary's weak points. And she's got a lot of them. And she is very corrupt. I mean, there's absolutely zero doubt that this woman has zero integrity. Not like negative. If it's possible to have negative integrity, Hillary Clinton has that.
I agree.
But my question is, and both the Clintons seem to be made out of Teflon because these corruptions, these scandals just slide right off of them. How do we tie these scandals and this corruption back to the office of the presidency?
Here's the problem. We have not been getting and this is our messaging. We have not been getting Democrats to face their own lack of standards.
Okay.
And so what I do with somebody is this. I say, you know, not only do I think character matters in a president, but you do. And let me put it this way. Would you vote for a corrupt Republican?
And if they say
no. They're nailed either way. If they say no, then I say, okay, then but would you vote for a corrupt Democrat?
Maybe.
You're right. See, now you're what you've just said is corruption doesn't matter to you. You're okay with corruption. They don't want to out themselves that way.
Right.
Okay. So if they say, no, I wouldn't, no, great. Now we can talk corruption and let's talk about it all on the same standards. If they say, yes, I would, now they've been forced for the first time to confront their lack of standards, their lack of caring about corruption. Okay. And don't get me wrong. I care more about what a president is going to do to us than what he does with an intern. Okay.
Hillary presents, I think, a much graver threat to the United States than Bill ever did.
Yes, she does. Okay. But this is that's what I do is I ask them, would you vote for a corrupt Republican? No. Okay. Then say, well, what about a corrupt Democrat? And if they say yes, they're in bad shape. If they say no, now it's on a level playing field.
Right.
Yeah. Either way you win. Do that.
Hillary was framed. what if they come back with something like that?
She was framed by a lot of evidence. Yes, you're right. That avalanche of evidence framed her. What defendant wipes her hard drive clean to prevent investigators from seeing what she didn't release? Could you do that? Could you get away with that? Okay, in light of Benghazi and massive foreign donations to her foundation.
Right.
Should Hillary have been allowed to erase all the evidence? Look, here's the thing. Once again, I want you to think about somebody who's wronged you or wronged a friend of yours in the workplace or a contractor or whatever. Would you want them to be able to pick and choose what evidence to release to you? If they can pick and choose what evidence to release, they've released none.
Right.
That means if they can erase any of it, they've erased all of it because they've erased anything pertinent.
Right. Seen that happen in real life.
Yes. Absolutely. And here's the good news, Chris. Most people have.
Good.
And this is where you connect it with them. Don't just say, look what she did. She did this. She did. No, that's way out there in Washington. Say, look what you've seen this done.
Now
would you want
here.
Them to be able to do this?
Right.
Well, that's what she did.
Okay.
Now it connects. The last thing I want to deal with is the biggest defense that's offered over. And this is Stephanopoulos used this. Most use the Stephanopoulos excuse for Clinton cash. It's for charity. I loved his I loved his apology. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. Granted, I did it because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to fight AIDS and poverty and all this kind of stuff.
What's the amount of donations into the Clinton Foundation that actually went to any sort of charitable cause?
10%.
Is it that high?
Well, I've seen the highest I saw was like 12 to 13. The lowest was 9. Okay. But here's the thing. What I do is this. I say, the Clinton Foundation is not a charity, period. He didn't give anything to a charity.
Right.
Okay. And here's why. Folks, when you think of a charity, you think of who is the great character in history you think first when you think of charity? Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
There are a few. St. Nicholas and so forth. The, you know.
Sorry, I drew a blank when you asked that. I'm like, I don't know. Thomas Aquinas, the guy who wrote Part of Corinthians. I don't know.
You think Mother Teresa. Okay, let's talk Mother Hillary. Okay. Now, the Clinton Foundation, as we just said, only directs 10% of the donations to the stated charities. Now, once again, guys, you got to talk in quick sentences. So here's what I say. Mother Teresa never pocketed 90%.
Right.
Okay. This isn't a charity. When I think charity, I think Mother Teresa, and everybody, liberal or conservative, will nod their head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I think charity, I think Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa never pocketed 90%.
Right.
And they're just like, you know, she didn't, these folks used as much money on travel as they gave to charity.
Oh, way more.
Okay. And it's just Mother Teresa also, I'm pretty sure of this, never rewarded donations with greatly increased weapons contracts.
I'm going
out on a limb here.
I think that you are on a safe limb on that one.
Okay. Mother Teresa also never received donations from press leaders who were going to be reporting on her presidential campaign.
Right.
Okay. As for the trifling of money that actually makes its way to charitable causes, here's what I say. Even mob bosses have legitimate businesses. They're called fronts.
I love it.
Okay, they're called fronts.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
Yeah,
actually.
Let me sum this up, okay? When 90% of donations go to overhead, by the way, my gosh, if that's overhead, I want to take the roof of the Superdome and put it over my home.
Right.
Okay? But if 90% of donations go to overhead, and when most of those donations come from nations wanting weapons and cronies wanting favors, the remaining 10% is a front, not a charity.
Right.
George Stephanopoulos, you want to stop AIDS? Give to stopping AIDS.
Not to
you
the
You see, they got
Foundation.
Those ribbons. They're really easy to find.
Right.
Okay. With every one of these, if you want to help the poor, give. Hey, there's some great places downtown that help the poor. Give to them.
Or even better, support free market policies because that's what helps the poor.
Well, we're talking to George Stephanopoulos.
I know. It's another conversation entirely.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
This is Mother Teresa never pocketed 10%. Mother Hillary isn't a charitable foundation. Okay, and I sum it up like this. Mother Hillary is a check-cashing, influence-selling, public-deceiving, crooked politician.
That sounds like a bumper sticker.
A long one.
A really long bumper sticker.
That's actually our license plate. It's very cryptic. Very cryptic. But, you know, the thing is that, look, she, my gosh, she made up a YouTube protest about terror attacks.
Right.
She got money from foreign governments. She erased all the evidence. And we're supposed to hear that it's okay because they gave money to a front.
Right.
Where only 10% goes to the people in need. And let me tell you something. For all those people who really did give to the Clinton Foundation.
Right.
Think about it. 90 cents on the dollar was taken out of the mouths of kids. 90% of the cents on the dollar was taken away from the AIDS research. 90 cents on the dollar was taken away from the people who needed it. She's a criminal.
She is absolutely a criminal. She will never see the inside of a jail cell, and that is the thing that is so frustrating to me. But we have to make sure that she doesn't see the inside of the Oval Office.
Please.
Ever again. And that is really the thing. I keep saying this. I really wish that she would throw her hat in the ring. Elizabeth Warren, as much as I completely disagree with every single thing that comes out of that woman's mouth, and she lied about the Indian heritage thing, and she's, you know, money-grubbing fix and flipper and all that kind of stuff. But the level of corruption from Elizabeth Warren is so much less, and she's more of a woman of ideas. Let's have that race. Let's get rid of Hillary. So give to Elizabeth Warren's campaign.
I don't know. I really want to watch
this another Operation Chaos.
The thing that worries me is that I hear a lot of pundits and a lot of people that I respect greatly saying it's inevitable. And that's, I refuse to accept that. Mm-hmm. I refuse to accept that. But
I don't think it's inevitable. I think it's likely we're going to beat her.
You think so?
I do. It, okay. It depends on which candidates we take. There are, I believe, three definitely who would beat her. And another couple who could.
Okay.
You know.
Who do you think could beat her in your estimation?
Well, Rubio would beat her. Rand Paul would beat her. I believe Bobby Jindal. I believe Carly Fiorina would beat her. I believe Bobby Jindal very possibly. And by the way, I'm not talking about who I like with all their views. I'm talking about winnability.
Right.
I believe that any of them, I believe Walker would have a chance. I believe he would struggle. And that's unfair because I love the guy.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the fake accent is going to take her down at all?
No.
When she goes in the South and tries to speak with a Southern accent and fails miserably?
No.
Okay. Maybe the media should stop focusing on that.
No, because only her close followers are even paying attention to that, and they don't care.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But look, let's say we had, hypothetically, a Rubio Fiorina ticket. It'd be over.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, it'd be a wipeout. Okay, and once again,
immigration. I mean, it would be really cool.
Oh, he's totally changed on that. He has.
Did he flip again?
No, he has come back. He's done a lot better on that. But it's not just him. Okay, you know, people are writing off Ted too quickly over the. I hate the Trans-Pacific thing too. I disagree. Okay, he can come back.
Yeah, yeah. I hope he does. I really like Ted.
Yeah,
I really do like Ted. So, well. Thanks for the talking points. Are these going to be findable anywhere?
Yes. Yes. I can post them on our website tomorrow and we'll email a copy to you as well.
Okay. That'd be great. And I'll post it on the Grassroots Radio Colorado Facebook page.
Sounds good.
So, and folks want to hear all of this. If you process this information better by ear, audibly, whatever, grrc.podomatic.com. Corey and Andy Pate, the party of choice. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm Chris Cook. You've been listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560.